This is how I've maximized productivity on the Mac. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast, episode number 213. As always, it is a pleasure to have you listening today. I know how valuable your time is, so the fact that you would use a little bit of it to listen to this episode, I really appreciate that. I really do mean that. And it's a pleasure to be talking to you today. Bit of a weird day here. It's such a funny weather at the moment here in Auckland, New Zealand. It's autumn, obviously, being in the southern hemisphere, but it can't decide what the weather wants to do. It's sort of, we have some days where it's really cold, other days it's still really warm. I went for a walk before and I came back absolutely sweating because it was just so muggy outside. So it's kind of a funny time of year. Can't believe it's already June next month. It's my birthday next month. I'm turning 30. Would you believe it? So that's coming up. I was just talking before starting to plan what we're going to do for that with my twin brother. Anyway, on to this episode, and today I'm talking about how I've maximized productivity on the Mac. And the inspiration for this episode actually came around because I was sitting down this morning thinking, what shall I write about? And I was having to do that from the iPad. Normally I work on my MacBook Pro, but Warwick, my colleague, he's doing some videos. We're recording some videos for Zapier, actually. They've hired us to do some video work for them, being the Zapier experts that we are. And so he's waiting for he's ordered the new M1 MacBook Air. It's still coming. So he borrowed my MacBook Pro to do the recording. And so I sat down to do my blog post from the iPad. And Apple has made some major progress on the iPad in the last few years to make it, you know, a great alternative to the Mac. And I think for certain types of worker, you know, people who are on the go, who don't use many power tools, I think the iPad is a great option. For me, personally, nothing beats the power of a Mac, hence the inspiration for this post. And out of the box, the Mac is a great piece of kit, but with a few tweaks and some useful apps that I'm going to talk about, you really can turn your Mac into an incredibly productive machine. And so that's what I'm talking about today. I'm going to list some of the tools and tweaks that I've made to supercharge my productivity. So if you are a Mac user, I'd highly recommend spending some time learning about each of these tools. I can say with confidence that tools like the ones that I'm going to talk about have genuinely helped me to save so much time that either helps me to get my work done faster so I can, I think it's part of the reasons I've been able to grow each year is and handle more clients is just that I am more efficient using some of these tools. Or if I want, I can go home earlier. You know, some days I finish early because I'm just getting stuff done, I'm powering through my email, and I can go home earlier. And that's what it's all about, right? If we can be more productive to grow our businesses or get back some free time, that is what it's all about. And before I get into this list, I want to plug the Mac Power Users podcast, because that is where, really, I credit a lot of my Mac productivity to. It's a show I've been listening to for about 6 or 7 years now, and without that show, I would not be where I am in terms of my usage of the Mac today. So definitely check out the Mac Power Users podcast. Fantastic show for Mac users to learn more about how to just get more out of your awesome machine. So the first tool I want to talk about, and a lot of what I'm talking about today, I have mentioned in various forms in different podcasts and blog posts and things. This is a bit of a, I guess, like a roundup, really, to just kind of talk about what you can go and spend some time on. So if there's a tool today that sounds interesting, I would just recommend going and doing some homework or downloading the tool and giving it a go. That's been my experience with these apps over the years, is I've heard something come up on, say, the Mac Power Users. The Mac, a few years ago, I heard about Hazel. And I then went down the rabbit hole learning how to use that and really set that up really well for my business. And then more recently, I set up Keyboard Maestro. So that's the other thing I would say, is don't feel like you have to download all of these apps at once. In fact, I think that would be a bad idea because there's a lot to learn. Instead, you know, bookmark this episode, come back to it if you need to, and just take one or two action points from today. And I think, you know, even if you just get one or two golden nuggets, I think you'll be pleased with the results. So the first tool I want to talk about is Alfred. Alfred is a kind of tool that I use for custom searching, for building productivity workflows, and as a clipboard manager. Now, on the Mac, you've got Spotlight built in, which is completely free. You just press Command Space on your keyboard, and Spotlight appears, and you can search for files, contacts, anything on your Mac. That's great. And Alfred, I didn't really get Alfred at first. I was like, it's just a bit more powerful Spotlight. What's the big deal? But, you know, once I spent some time with it, and I think that's a common theme with a lot of these tools, is you just need to spend some time with them, I realized how powerful it was. So firstly, with Alfred, you can create custom searches. So for example, on my blog, there's a little search bar, and when you type a search in there, the URL at the top of the website changes. It goes paulminers.com/search=, and then the word or the phrase that you've searched for. Now, what I can do is I can take that URL and put it into Alfred, and then I can, instead of the search word, I can replace that with a little tag for the Alfred query that I want to search for. And so I set up this custom search. So what that means is in Alfred, I can just type Option Space instead of Command Space, which is Spotlight. I can type Option Space, that brings up Alfred. And then I can type the word blog, and I'm doing this now, and then I can type, let's say, you know, Asana. And then if I hit return, Alfred is going to open a new tab in my browser, and it's going to run that search on my site. It's going to show me the search results for my blog. So that's just one example. But you could do this with things like searching for videos on YouTube. I do it for searching for subscribers in ConvertKit, for payments in my website e-commerce system. Basically, anywhere on the web where a URL is used to search, you can trigger this from Alfred. And it's a feature that I use dozens of times a day, and it means I don't have to manually go to each site. For example, I'll get an email in the morning. Somebody says I'm having an issue with my payment. And I can go into my e-commerce, quickly search for it through Alfred and find that. And I'm not having to go to Safari, open a tab, go to my website and search. I can just jump straight to where I need to be using Alfred. So that's just one feature. Alfred is packed with features. I mean, just to name a few, Alfred also lets you create your own custom productivity workflows. In fact, they have an entire library of workflows that other people have created that you can download. So you can use Alfred to perform things like custom calculations, show time zones in different times in different time zones. You can bulk open apps and websites. There's a lot you can do with these custom workflows. Let me just bring up, I'm just going to do this on the fly. Looking at my workflows now, I do things like I have a workflow for toggling the dark mode or for toggling do not disturb. I've got a workflow for quickly ejecting any disks, hard drives that I have attached. Workflows for opening different, like a block of websites, like there's five websites I want to open at once, I can do that with a workflow. So that's a really useful feature. And then, I mean, by far the best feature that I use, as simple as this sounds, is the clipboard manager. By pressing, I think it's Control Space, it brings up the clipboard manager, and I can see all of the text and things that I've copied for the last 30 days. And I can even search through that if I need to. So if I want to get access to a link, I was like, oh, what was that link from yesterday? I can quickly pull up the clipboard manager, search for it, hit return, and quickly go and find that link. And this is a feature I use dozens, if not hundreds of times a day, literally. And Alfred is worth it for this feature alone. In fact, let me just have a look here, because there's some usage reports in Alfred. Hotkeys, let me see, clipboard. I mean, on a busy day, okay, on a busy day, I'll use the clipboard about 50 to 60 times by the looks of it, which is quite a lot, really. I use that feature a ton. And if you don't have a clipboard manager on your Mac, you really are missing out. That is a big time saver. So anyway, that's my first tool, Alfred, that I wanted to plug. Second one that you've maybe heard me talk about before is Hazel. Hazel is something I use for automated file management. So again, it's one of these tools I didn't really get at first until I spent some time with it. But how it works is that you get Hazel to watch a folder on your Mac, like your downloads or your desktop. And then when files in that folder satisfy rules that you've set up, Hazel can perform actions on it. So for example, when I download receipts and invoices for the different services that I pay for, Hazel will rename the file. And what's really clever is that Hazel can even extract the invoice date from within the invoice. So if I receive it today, but the invoice date was actually yesterday, Hazel can pull out yesterday's date and rename it with the date and the service, and even move it to my receipts folder in my iCloud drive. And it just saves me a ton of time because I'm not having to manually rename and move each file. Hazel just does this for me in the background. And if you want to see a bit more of a explanation of exactly how that works, I've linked to a previous article that I wrote. So you can head on over to the show notes, paulminers.com/213. For this blog post, there's a link there to a bit of more of a detailed summary of that. But another good use case for Hazel is, like, let's say, you know, files are building up on your desktop or in your downloads. If they're there for too long, let's say you've had files there for more than 3 days, you could have Hazel move them to the trash. And speaking of which, Hazel can then empty the trash when it gets too full, or if files have been in the trash for, let's say, 30 days. So it's basically like it's a digital assistant that cleans up after you and organizes the stuff on your Mac. I even have workflows related to my podcast. So, for example, after, I think it's 14 days, the files for my podcast episode, which are in a folder, so I have, like, my GarageBand file and the exported MP3 file, they will get automatically moved onto my hard drive and archived. So I only keep the last couple of episodes on my machine, and everything gets moved and archived. And again, I don't have to touch anything. Hazel just does that for me. It's really cool when you have some of this set up. So that's the next tool, Hazel, that I wanted to mention. The third one is Keyboard Maestro. And again, it's the same with all of these. I just didn't get it at first. I was like, what do you need Keyboard Maestro for? This looks too complicated. Something that really helped me with Keyboard Maestro is David Sparks, who is the host of the Mac Power Users podcast, made a field guide called the Keyboard Maestro Field Guide. It was about $30, very good value. You can kind of pick and choose what you want to watch in his course. He kind of teaches you about the triggers, the different actions, and you can then pick and choose the lessons that are useful to you. And that was a very useful resource for me learning this tool. And so Keyboard Maestro, it's an automation tool that you can use to perform all sorts of actions on your Mac. It's a bit like if you've used Zapier or IFTTT, if this, then that. It's a bit like that for your Mac. So you can set up triggers, which could be hotkeys, it could be apps opening, all sorts of different, you know, it could be plugging in a monitor, changing Wi-Fi network. You have these triggers, and when that trigger happens, you can have Keyboard Maestro perform actions. So I use it to do things like I can move and resize my windows around. I work on a big ultra-wide monitor, and I've programmed some hotkeys, so when I type a hotkey, I can shift the window to the left, and I can make it fill half the screen, or to the right and do the right half. Or I can do the left third, middle third, right third. So I can stack up and assign, rearrange the windows the way I like them. I've used it to create custom keyboard shortcuts that aren't really possible to create using the system preferences, which I'll talk more about soon. I even used it once, this was really cool, I even used it once to convert, I had 100 PDFs that I needed to convert to Word files, and I found a way of doing it with PDF Pen Pro, where you open the PDF and you export it to Word. Very simple. I didn't want to sit there and do that 100 times. What I was able to do, though, is using Keyboard Maestro, I was able to basically have it perform a bunch of actions and a lot of keyboard shortcuts, and then put all of that into a loop and said, right, repeat this 100 times. And then literally, I walked away for half an hour, and my Mac was literally there working on its own. If you walked into the room, you would see the Mac literally working, and I wasn't even in the room doing anything. It was really cool. It's probably one of the coolest things I've done. It felt very Tony Stark. I felt like Jarvis was there, you know, doing things for me. A very Tony Stark moment. So that's the power of Keyboard Maestro. Very cool tool. If you are on a Mac and interested in automation, definitely check it out, because I'm only scratching the surface with it still. It's a very powerful automation tool. Next tool you've definitely heard me talk about before is Text Expander, which I use for email templates, links, and storing any kind of text, really, that I need to retrieve. So, very useful tool. I mean, probably the most common uses are email templates, storing affiliate links, any phrases. Even when I'm writing emails, there's a lot of phrases that I use a lot, so I've put a lot of templates in there. And so what I can then do is, if I'm typing into an email or into an Apple note or anywhere on the web, basically anywhere I can type text, I can type a little snippet. So a snippet might be semicolon and then EM for email, and that will spit out my email address. So it's really useful for just any text that you need to type on a regular basis, like your email address, your physical address, phone numbers, account numbers. Instead of typing that stuff out, you can use little hotkeys to retrieve that text. And honestly, it's amazing how much time you can save on typing. Just on typing. I get a report from Text Expander each month, and I usually save somewhere between 4 to 8 hours a month just on typing. That's like a day's worth of time, a working day's worth of time saved on typing. So very powerful tool. Again, head on over to my show notes, paulminers.com/213, and I've got a video showing all the different ways that I use Text Expander. Okay, next one, 1Password. So if you don't already have one, you need a password manager. You just do. You can't argue at this point. In fact, if there's anything you're taking away from this episode, if you don't have a password manager, please make this the first thing you do. Get 1Password. It works on PC, Mac, iPhone, all sorts of devices. 1Password's probably the most popular and easy to use password manager, and it's a great accessory for the Mac. So not only does it help you create strong, unique passwords for each account you sign up for, it's actually a huge time saver. Because using 1Password's Touch ID on the Mac or even the Apple Watch support, I can double tap on my Apple Watch to unlock it. I can quickly fill in passwords and even two-factor authentication codes faster than I could simply typing them out. So it's not just that it's secure, it's that it actually saves me time as well. And every service I sign up for now has a different password, so I'm protected from data breaches, you know, because these things happen all the time. You know, big services, LinkedIn, Facebook, Dropbox, have all been hacked, and we've had users, Facebook was hacked recently, and we've had, you know, all this information go out publicly, and so people on the dark web, they grab these email lists, they try these passwords on a few services to see what works. So having the same password repeated is just not good internet etiquette these days. You definitely need a password manager, and 1Password is the one that I recommend. And I use it not just for logins as well. I use it to store credit card information, bank account details, passports, software licenses, network passwords, tax details, and even secure notes. I've got notes in there of like just important information that I don't really want just on my Mac. I want it kind of that extra level of protection, so I put it in 1Password. So those are some of the apps that I wanted to talk about. Now I want to talk about some kind of little tweaks and system preferences that you can play with. And the first one is that is creating some custom shortcuts. Now, I am a big user of keyboard shortcuts. I find it a lot faster to navigate and get things done on the Mac if you can use the keyboard and really try and minimize how much you use the mouse. However, sometimes you get into an app and you want to do something, but there's no shortcut for the app, for the thing you want to do in the app. The good news is there's a handy workaround. If you go to your system preferences and go to keyboard and then shortcuts and then go to app shortcuts, you can create your own custom shortcuts for the apps that don't have one. And the trick is that anything in the menu, so if you know at the menu, the top, you've got file, edit, you know, those things at the top, anything in those menus, you can then put in there and assign a keyboard shortcut to. So an example is in Apple Mail, there is no shortcut to insert a bulleted list. Or maybe there is, I can't remember, but I don't like the one that there is or there isn't one. There's one that I use in other apps, which is Shift Command U. It's just the one that my fingers remember. So I can then create my own custom shortcut. And so I've done this with a bunch of apps that I use, Mail, Notes, Messages, Excel, and it's really nice to, again, spend more time using the keyboard and less on using the mouse. And the next tip or the next tweak is while you're on that page in your system preferences, you'll see an option to allow the use of the tab key to move the focus button when different options appear on the screen. So instead of having to use the mouse to click a button, you can use the tab key to switch which button you're focused on, and then you can hit space to press that button. So it's, again, it's another really quick little hack you can use, a little tweak, to use the mouse less. The next tip is make your mouse really fast. I don't think, it's not really a huge time saver, but it certainly, I think, makes using your Mac easier. So what I would say is just go into your system preferences and just put your mouse speed up to maximum. And it's going to feel really weird. It's going to be like way too fast to begin with. But very quickly, within an hour, you will get used to the extra speed and your hand will adjust. And you'll actually move your hand less on the desk. And you can actually get from one side of your screen to the other very quickly with very little hand movement. And I mean, it's personal preference. You might not like it, but I find it really nice to be able to move my mouse very quickly with very little movement. And I actually found that the maximum speed on the Mac still wasn't fast enough. So I use a terminal command, which I've got a link to in my show notes if you want to replicate this. I use a terminal command to speed up my mouse speed beyond what the system preferences will allow. And for me, this just feels normal. But it's quite funny, because this morning, Warwick, when he jumped on my computer to do his videos, he moved my mouse, and he lost it straight away. He's like, where's the mouse gone? Because it's so fast. Again, it's just normal to me. I can move the mouse very easily. so it's quite funny. But so that's one I would just say, give it a go. You might hate it. Try and sit with it for an hour. See if you adapt. I think you will. And you might be really pleasantly surprised. And the final little tweak I wanted to mention is to change the ordering of tabs in Safari. Because some time ago, Apple changed how Safari opens new tabs. And the way it works now is that when you open a tab, you know, Command T, it opens after the current one. So if you have five tabs open and you're in the third one, it will open in slot 4, or between 3 and 4. And that feels odd to me, because for a while before that, it used to be that the tab opened at the end. And that's kind of how my brain works anyway. When I open a new tab, I just want it to open at the end of my list of tabs. So anyway, I've linked to an article in this episode written by Six Colors, and they show you how in Safari, there's a little preference buried kind of deep in the developer preferences. You can force the new tabs to open at the end. So that's, again, very much a personal preference. You might like the way it happens right now. But if, like me, you really want tabs opening at the end because it just makes more sense, you can definitely go ahead and turn that on. And so there we are. That concludes my list of tools and little tweaks to get more out of your Mac. There's a couple of big tools there that, like I said, they're going to require some time and they come with a bit of a learning curve. Keyboard Maestro, Hazel, Alfred, Text Expander, you know. With each of them, like I've said a couple of times now, spend some time with them. It's going to feel, you know, weird to learn at first, and you're not going to see how it's going to be useful to you, but I promise you, if you put a bit of time into these tools, you will find some ways that these tools are going to help you save some time, and you'll quickly get to a point where I am, which is where you go, oh my gosh, what did I do before I had Hazel? I can't believe I was moving files manually. Or, what did I do before I had Text Expander? Was I really typing that much? That seems so dumb. Like, Text Expander can do it for me. So if you're on a Mac and you're interested in using it more and saving some time, I hope this episode has been useful. If you have any feedback for me, or if you have some suggestions for me, because you know I love working out how to use my Mac better, head on over to the show notes, paulminers.com/213. Leave me a comment. I always enjoy your feedback. So one more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Paul Miners Podcast. Two quick things before I sign off. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback for me, I would love it if you could leave me a review on iTunes. It really helps me to improve the show, and it helps the show to get discovered by more people so I can help more people out there. The second thing is, if you want to connect with me in person, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulminers.com/VIP, where you will be able to join my private Slack community and attend bi-weekly group mastermind calls. This has to be one of my favorite times of the week when it comes up, is attending these group calls. The community is full of like-minded, productive, self-employed people, full-time workers. We have a real good mix of people in there. And I have to say, I have made fantastic friends with the people in this group. So if you want to join the community and connect with me and the other awesome members, sign up at paulminers.com/VIP. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.